As we're here tonight, everybody take a deep breath. Thanksgiving is over. Thanksgiving Day is ended. Black Friday is over. Cyber Monday is coming. Don't forget that. Now it's time to get ready for Christmas. So tonight I'm going to talk about rest. We get to decorate. We get to clean. We get to go to parties. We get to shop. We get to do much more during this time of the year called Thanksgiving and Christmas. And a survey was done. Ah, you love surveys. But a survey was done, and some company figured out the exact time that all the stress gets to you during the holiday season. Because what they said is around December 14th is when, if you want to take out your calendar and write this down, you can put this down on your calendar. About the December 14th is when you finally finalize what you're going to have for Christmas. And then you spend about 14 to 20 hours trying to figure out how you're going to have this for Christmas. But then this survey, which is done by Merrimix, which is, of course, is a cooking company, and they said this, that at 12:56 on Christmas Day is when everything comes together and you have the most stress during the holiday. Isn't that wonderful to know that they're telling us when we're going to have the most stress? You know, all the chopping and peeling and mixing and all the shopping and everything that you do. Sometimes we just need some rest. Are y'all tired ever? You just need some physical rest, and yet there's so much going on that you need this rest, and there's, you know, your mind's just racing and racing. And I didn't really know, what do you do about that when you have to go to sleep and your mind's racing but you really need the rest? Well, I found out, I saw a commercial. And hey, if it's on TV, it must be true. And so this is what happened. This is the commercial. The narrator opens up with these questions. Ready? When you want to sleep, do you lie awake? When you get to sleep, do you wake up often during the night? Ah, here it is. Calm voice. Sleep is here on the wings of Lunesta. So these wings come down and they get on these people in bed. It said some sleep aids are approved to help you fall asleep and others to help you stay awake. Prescription Lunesta is approved to do both. Isn't that encouraging? Know that if you need rest, that you can go and you can get this prescription Lunesta and you can take that. Now, it was great until this part, because then everything sounds good. But then they say, until you know how to react to Lunesta, you should not drive or operate machinery. Oh, this is what got me. Walking, eating, driving, or engaging in other activities while asleep without remembering it the next day has been reported. Oh, my goodness. Honey, I don't understand why I'm gaining all this weight. I don't remember anything. Other abnormal behaviors include aggressiveness, agitation, hallucinations, and confusion. But you can sleep. Can't remember what you're doing, but you can sleep. You catch that now? Oh, I forgot this part. Severe allergic reactions such as swelling of the tongue and throat may occur and may be fatal. But I'm going to sleep. I'm going to get my rest. Now, I'll tell you what, if I took that stuff, I would be so anxious what was going to happen to me, I wouldn't be able to go to sleep. You know, all the world's prescriptions for a weary and an anxious soul is you can just get some rest, take this pill, you can do this, take this pill, get some physical rest. If you just go to sleep, everything's going to do. But nothing has the power to let you rest as when you get in your life what I call spiritual rest. All the physical rest you want will help, but until you have spiritual rest in your life, I do not think that you are going to get to the place to where you really, truly feel rested. Because until Jesus Christ can come into your heart in such a way that he gives you peace and that rest that you have in your soul, as Psalms 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. See, I got this sermon while I was on vacation in October. Right at the end of October and the beginning of November, I was at home, and I was ready to get back to work because I was so tired doing all the stuff I had to do at home. Our washer overflowed, so we had to fix the carpet. So that took a while. Then we regrouted the bathroom, worked on the pool, took a day trip to Waco, which is 3 hours, spent 3 hours with my grandson, rode back 3 hours, and all the traffic and all that kind of stuff. I probably was exhausted to do that. Plus the famous to-do list that I had to do during the week because I was on vacation. I was tired. But I got physical rest, but more than anything, when I came back to work that Monday, the time that God and I spent together, I had spiritual rest. It was very encouraging. It was very refreshing of the time that I got to spend with God to get this spiritual rest. See, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And so tonight what I'm going to do is give us 4 tips on how to get spiritual rest. Now, we all know how to get physical rest. We go to bed and we close our eyes. We could take Lunesta and not remember anything. Or we could sit there and have spiritual rest with God. So tonight, with these 4 tips that I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you a way to get spiritual rest. Now, the ultimate way, that's not part of these steps, but the ultimate way to get spiritual rest is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because that's the beginning of it, is that you turn your heart and everything about you over to Jesus Christ. And then what you do, which we're going to get to a little bit in the first part, but if we have sin in our lives and we're a Christian, I do not think God's ever going to let us rest. Because the Holy Spirit is going to be convicting us in such a way. So really one of the ways that you do that is that you just go ahead and confess the sin that you know about to God. And that does give you spiritual rest. But then you have the day-by-day things that are going on. And so these are what these 4 tips are. And I just hope by the time this sermon's over that this just kind of helps you a little bit during these holidays. Because the holidays can get stressful. There's so much going on. There's a tree that we're going to be doing, and all the choir is going to be doing that, and all the time that they take in that. And then we have family coming over, and we have to cook, and we have to go places, and we have to travel. And so here are some tips for spiritual rest. The R is this: release all anxieties, worries, and unforgiveness to the Lord. See, I believe that if you have to begin there. Because I believe this world that we live in, of 3 things that happen to us more than anything, I think are worries, anxieties, and unforgiveness. And the reason I say that is because I just see that, and with the number of people that I deal with and we talk to and stuff like that, that seems to be a common thread with all of us. We sometimes worry about things, day by day things. We have anxiety sometimes about what's going on. And then sometimes we have unforgiveness toward people that have done us wrong or did something that we didn't really like. You know, I look at 2 scriptures in the Bible, Psalms 55:22. It says, cast your care on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. That's 1 Peter 5:7. See, I believe that there is nothing that will wear you out more than having worry, anxiety, and unforgiveness and keeping all that bottled in without releasing it to the Lord. Now, telling people and talking to people about it might help just a little bit, but really not until you release it to the Lord will that do that. Now, in that area of worry, anxiety, and unforgiveness, I believe there's 3 areas. The main 3 areas that we have the hardest time with that is this. I believe number 1 would be your family. Sometimes families just bring us worry. Sometimes family brings us anxiety. And sometimes family will bring situations where it's very hard to forgive. Can I get an amen on that? That just happens sometimes. I hope that hadn't happened to you, but it does. We just have a tendency to worry, especially if members of our family aren't doing really what God needs them to do or supposed to do. You just have a tendency to worry, or you just worry because you're parents. I don't think I ever knew what worrying was until I became a parent. Then you become a grandparent. Then you worry more. I wonder what's going to happen if I ever become a great-grandparent. I wonder if I'm going to worry more. But yet I'm going to have to release that to the Lord, because if not, I'm never going to have spiritual rest, true spiritual rest like I need to get in Christ. The second part that I think brings us worry and brings us anxiety and brings us unforgiveness is our job. I believe when you're working with people, you're working with people. And you know what? Do you realize that people don't always do what you think they should do? Have you ever figured that out? Why is that? Because we're all fallen. And sometimes in a job situation, we have thoughts, worries, anxieties, unforgiveness toward people. And I'm just telling you right now, you have that toward another one of God's creation, especially in your job, wherever you're working. When God wants us to be a certain way, we have unforgiveness or we have anxiety or worry toward people, and they cause anxiety and worry, you're not going to have spiritual rest. Because when you put your head on the pillow at night, you might be tired, but through your mind, spiritually, you're just running over and over and over in your mind what that person might have done to you, or what that person said that's making you worry, or what you got to do tomorrow that's giving you anxiety. Have y'all ever had that? I hope so. If not, I'm going to have to take a lot of Lunesta. And the third one, and I'm finding this out as I get older, is your health. You know, you go to the doctor and the doctor says something, or you have a pain. I have a pain in my hip. And you start worrying and anxiety, and the doctor says, well, I need to run this test, or I need to go run this test, or I need to do this. And you have to start worrying and anxiety, and you just, it could just get to you. And so the first tip is this: you have to get on your knees before God. And if you do this, you're going to see how it works. But you're going to have to get on your knees before God and say, God, okay, I release these anxieties, I release these worries, I release this unforgiveness to you, God. It says to cast the cares upon you. You know, casting, the Greek word, cast my care, or the Hebrew, it means to throw upon. So it's saying this: you throw all that stuff to God. Number one, because He's willing and able to take care of it, because He's God. No human being is willing and able to take care of your worries, anxieties, and unforgiveness. God can do that. Now, they can help, but only God can do that. And the other one is, He sustains you. That's what it says. So, you know, you get on your knees and you say, God, okay, this is going on at work. This is going on with my family. This is going on with my health. This is doing this, God. This is this, God. I'm worried about this, God. I have anxiety about this. God, I'm feeling this way. I'm having a hard time forgiving this person, God. I'm having this, God. And God, I'm not going to be able to do anything with my life. I'm not going to be able to get the spiritual rest that I need until, God, I just release all this to you. And God, I'm just going to ask you to give me the strength that only you can give during times like this. And you'll feel a weight come off your shoulder. Try it. Because God's willing and able to hear everything about your anxieties, everything about your worries, everything about your unforgiveness. And you release that to God. Ask God, forgive me for these times that I've been like this. God, forgive me for getting here. But you'll come, just with the first tip, you'll have a weight come off your shoulder. How do I know that? Well, number one, because I've been through it and it works. Number two, because I believe the Bible tells us that. Because God says, cast your cares to Him. He will sustain you. He will take care of you. So that's the R. Release all anxieties, worries, and unforgiveness to the Lord. Here's the E. I think after you release all that to God, you stand up and you say, God, now I want to do this with my life. I want to examine my life in accordance with the Bible. See, I believe that when you give all that to God, you stand up and God wants you to start living the way God wants you to start living. God wants you to start living the way He's designed you to live. And that way that He's designed you to live is God wants you to serve Him. God wants you to serve Him. And one of the ways that we serve Him is that we're going to serve other people. So I believe that what you see is you will be able to, after you release all this to God, because when we have worries, anxieties, and unforgiveness, look what happens. When we have worries, anxieties, and unforgiveness, this is what happens. Everything turns inward. I'm worried about this. I have anxiety about this. That person did this to me. That person did this. That person did this. Oh, I'm worried about this. And it's all turned inward. Whereas God's designed us when He saves us to not turn inward. Now, we have to keep our spiritual walk with God good, but He's chosen to have us be servants. He's chose us to serve one another. That's why God puts over 50, if not over 55, verses in the Bible that says one another. The Greek word is allalon. It's one another. And one-third of those one another scriptures, as in John and John 15:12 and Romans and 1 Thessalonians and 1 Peter, 1 John, all throughout 1 and 2 John, one of those, about a third of those one another's is love one another. So what happens if you examine your life by what the Bible says, I have to ask myself, God, am I loving other people? I mean, one-third of the things that we're supposed to do, we're supposed to love one another. It's a good question. Are you loving other people? God really tells us to. One-third of what the Bible's talking about has to do with the unity of God's church, has to do with the unity of your brothers and sisters in Christ, but just not your brothers and sisters in Christ universally, but your brothers and sisters in Christ in the church. One-third of those one another. So if I'm examining my life, I have to ask myself this, God, am I at peace with one another? God, do I grumble against other people? I'm not doing really good so far. I mean, John 6:43 says, stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus said. God, am I in the same mind with other people? God, do I accept one another? God, do I not consume one another with my words? God, am I gentle and patient toward one another? See what's happening now? See what happens when you release your inward worries, anxieties, and unforgiveness to God? Then you can go outward to people, and the Bible tells us how to do that. And so we have to examine our lives in accordance with the Bible. 15% of these about that the Bible has to do with being humble. Do I regard one another as more important than I am? Well, I don't know. Do I serve one another? Do we clothe one another in humility? Do I clothe myself in humility so I can build other people up? See where I'm going with this? You see, all these one another that God's talking about is this. We cannot do that unless we get spiritual rest by releasing ourselves to God. It says, don't judge one another. It says, bear one another's burdens. It says, don't lie to each other. It says, comfort one another. That's in 1 Thessalonians. It says, pray for one another. It says, be nice to each other. It even says three times, greet each other with a holy kiss. Yee. Now, that I don't want y'all to come up and smack me on the cheek afterwards. But what it says, just be nice to each other. You know, there's some cultures like Spain and Buenos Aires where they actually take this verse, and when you go up to them, they'll come up and kiss you on the cheek. I think Buenos Aires kisses you on the left cheek, Spain kisses you on both cheeks. I'm not saying we start that. I'll shake your hand. Because that's a culture. It's a cultural thing. But the point is this. Am I nice to people? Do I look at you as a child of God because you're my brother and sister in Christ? Do I look at you and respect you because Jesus Christ is in your heart? Or have I turned so inward because of my anxieties and worries and because of my unforgiveness that everything's about me? So that's the E. You examine your life accordance to the Bible, especially the one another's, how we treat and how we serve one another. You're on your way if you start looking at the Bible and you start saying, okay, God, you've given me strength to do this, you've given me strength to do that. Now, the S is this. you probably set your mind on the things of God. See, what I've done now is this. I've released all my anxiety, worries, and fears to God. Now I'm examining my life according to what the Bible says to see if it's where it needs to be. Am I being kind? Am I serving one another? Am I loving people the way God wants me to? And then God's saying, well, I'll tell you this. This is what I'll do. I'll guarantee that you'll be able to do this if you set your minds on me. The Bible says in Colossians 3, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart, not just your mind, on the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ and God. The things of God. What are the things of God? Well, I believe one way to talk about the things of God is what the fruit of the Spirit are. Because when you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit in your mind, in your heart, and you're supposed to take on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He gives you the fruit. That's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I believe that when you set your minds on Christ, that those are characteristics of your life. Those become characteristics of your life. So I really think as you leave each day and as you go to bed each night, you need to prepare your mind and set your mind on the things of God. Pretty soon, I pray that it just becomes part of your life. That when you wake up and when you go to sleep, your mind is set on God. But I really feel like you need to spend some time each morning looking at the Bible through prayer, through dedication of your life to God, through saying to God, God, I want to, you know, use me today to serve other people. God, use me today to love other people. God, use me today not to grumble. God, use me today to forgive people. God, use me today to let your light shine with people. God, use me today to show love, joy, and peace. God, use me today and let me have patience, kindness, and goodness. God, let me be faithful today. God, let me be gentle today. And God, please let me have self-control. God, please. Set your mind. And when these things are on your mind, but see, what happens is if you never do the R, if you never release all that to God, you're still inward and you're still fuming and you're still worried and you still have anxieties. And yet, at the same time, you set your minds on the things of God. And here's the T. Trust the Lord for the outcomes of your life. Some of us are going through things we have no idea what's going to happen. Health problems, family problems, work problems. We just don't know what's going to happen. None of us are even promised tomorrow. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Entrust the Lord in the outcome of your life. Psalms 118 says this, it's better to trust the Lord than put your confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than put your confidence in princes. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which the pastor has the first graders even learn. Trust the Lord in all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust the Lord with the outcomes of your life. Now here we are. R-E-S-T. If we do R, we do E, we do S, and then we forget T, it's just a vicious cycle all over again. Because all we'll do, as soon as we set our minds on Christ, something will happen. And we'll jump all the way back up to R again. And we'll have worries, anxieties, and fears. You know, that's kind of how our life is sometimes. We turn it over to God. And then we take it back. We turn it over to God and we take it back. We turn it over to God, we take it back. I want you to know that if you do R-E-S-T, what's going to happen? If you trust the Lord with the outcomes of your life, what's going to happen is you're going to feel this sense of spiritual peace and spiritual rest come upon you. Now, does that mean you won't ever have to do this again? That doesn't mean that. It just means this. Why go month after month, day after day, year after year? Why go that much time and not feeling any spiritual rest at all? When you could release all your fears, anxieties, worries to God, where you could examine your life then according to what the Bible says and say, God, am I serving people? When you can set your minds toward the things of God, and when you set your mind toward the things of God, what happens is you start to see a transformation in your life. And then, most important, trust the Lord with the outcomes of your life. Are you worried about something tonight? You feel anxious? You're having troubles with other people? I'm just saying this. God more than me, but I just want you to have some spiritual rest. And the only way that you can have that spiritual rest is to look to God through Jesus Christ. Release that tonight if you have worries, anxieties, unforgiveness. Start on this path tonight. Release that to God, and what you'll see is this. A weight will be lifted, and you'll be able to serve others the way God intended us to serve other people. The Bible tells us how to do that. And then every day we set our minds toward Christ. And then when things happen, God, I trust you for the outcome of this situation. And God will give you spiritual rest. Isn't that great news tonight? That you could leave here tonight with a weight lifted off of you because you released to God those things in your life that have turned us inward. And then when you go to sleep tonight, you don't need Lunesta or those little wings on the back of your... because you have God. And nothing gives you better rest than God. Let's bow our heads. You know, tonight we're going to have an invitation time, and really the invitation time is for Christians here tonight. You may be having worry, anxiety, you may be having some unforgiveness in your heart, and I'm just asking you tonight just to release that to God during this invitation. You can come up, we can pray with you here at the front, or you can pray where you are. But you know, spiritual rest is important for us. Of course, there's some people here tonight, and the spiritual rest that you might need is that spiritual rest that only comes when you ask Jesus Christ in your heart. That God brought you to church tonight for a reason, and that reason was maybe to hear this sermon, to realize that the only way I can get true spiritual rest is to have my sins forgiven through salvation. Maybe tonight you're here and you've never asked Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can do that right now. Just say in your heart, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins and make me a Christian." Maybe you're here tonight and you've come in tonight just to visit our church and you think this would be a great church to join, and we're doing a lot of things for the community, we're doing a lot of things for each other. Most of all, we're listening to the Word of God, and the Word of God's being preached. Maybe you just say to yourself tonight, you know, this is the church I want to be a part of. Well, during this invitation, you can come up, take a minister's hand, say you want to join our church tonight. The invitation is a time where we just individually do business with God. Ministers are up front if you want to join, or if you've asked Jesus in your heart. The Bible talks about publicly professing that. You come up, take a minister by the hand. And so after I pray in just a second, we're going to stand up, have an invitation. Music's going to be playing. Ministers will be up front. If there's a decision you need to make, you come to the front. So Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we've had to open the Word of God, for your Word, Father, to examine our hearts. But Father, I pray for spiritual rest for all of us in this room, and this, especially in this time of year, where there's so much going on. We may be tired physically, but Father, I sure don't want to get tired spiritually. So we turn all that over to you tonight. And Father, during this invitation, if people need to join or somebody got saved, Father, I pray they'll come forward. If somebody needs to pray with us, Father, I pray for that too. Father, most of all, we want your name to be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.